Well, we must be having fun because time is flying. It's already half past the hour, a little late here with Dr. Don. I hope that's okay with you, Don. I know you've been waiting patiently for us.
Yeah, we'll probably go to the top of the hour, I'm assuming.
Well, that's okay because we'll end when we end. You're tuned to Broken Road Radio on a Transcendent Tuesday morning, and that means a visit with Dr. Don Clark. Don is a biochemist, a vintner, and a member of the Board of Creation Moments. In fact, he's just been up there in Minnesota with a board meeting. It lasted several days. He's back now home in Garden Valley, Texas, with Valle della Pace. You don't have to say that with an Italian accent, or it's just, how do I say that in Texan?
Oh, it would be Valle della Pace.
Valle della Pace, yeah, that's Texan. Okay.
Yeah, and it's Pace in Spanish, Pace in Italian.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. David, I think your microphone, there you go. Okay.
Do you get that every once in a while? Somebody walking in and saying, is Mr. Pace here?
Hey, Mr. Pace. Yeah, no.
Is Mr. Pace here?
It's rare that we can get somebody to pronounce it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Valley of Peace. I like it. I like
Or in Spanish, Valle. Mm-hmm. Valle.
That's what I always thought would be Valle. Do they do that in Italy, too? There's double L Pace. In Italy, that soft sound? Or is it, or not?
No, they pronounce it Valle.
Valle. Okay. Valle.
They don't. It's not like a Y sound
okay.
In Spanish.
All right. Okay. Well, see, we've already learned something. We learn a lot of stuff when Dr. Don gets on here. And we're going to delve into some science today and some theology and some a little bit about Elon Musk here. And it starts with a story that, let's see, who this was on MSN, but I'm trying, technology, a magazine, and is writing about some of Elon Musk's Starlink satellites. It said that space storms have destroyed a number of his satellites. The problem is about to get worse. Now, Elon Musk is engaged in an effort to surround the Earth with little tiny satellites, tens of thousands of them, that will provide internet directly to the whole Earth. It's a very ambitious thing, but apparently there was a solar storm, was it, Don, that knocked some of those out of orbit?
Yes, the solar activity is increasing. We're in the 11-year cycle.
We talked about that before. Yeah, we went back in history, looked at heat waves.
With regard to climate change. So this is a good segue into the other article because we're in the 11-year cycle, and so we're getting more solar activity and eruptions on the sun. And those, depending on how big they are, they can cause solar winds, for example, to crash into the satellites that we have around the Earth and actually can disrupt electromagnetic transmissions, even radio transmissions, and other things here on Earth, depending on the size.
I know at FM radio, there were always times of the year when we would get messages from, I guess, the NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Administration, about solar storms, and it would knock out FM broadcasts for, you know, hours at a time on subsequent days. So we're kind of vaguely familiar with that being in radio, but apparently there are a lot of other effects, too. And this supposedly actually knocked 30 of these. And I think these satellites are like hockey puck-sized satellites, and this solar storm knocked 30 of them out of orbit, but he's still got 3,000 going around there with plans to launch up to 40,000 of them. That like a cloud of debris around the Earth.
Yes, I don't know the exact size of these things, but they're in lower orbit, so they're actually kind of designed for this. He puts them in lower orbit, so when a big solar wind or burst comes along and pushes some of them, you know,
is there physical force to that? It's described as a wind, but I thought it was just an increase in radiation.
It's not a wind because you don't have an atmosphere up there, but it's enough energy to push these things if it hits them just right, and apparently it did.
You mean like magnets pushing each other away? The electronic field does that?
Yes,
it's closer to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's. Yeah. I mean, you know, they've actually designed some satellites or some spacecraft that would have big solar sails. I don't know. You probably have heard about the solar sails. Mm-hmm, yeah. Anyway, it's kind of using the photons, basically hitting the solar sail, which is aluminized or gold thin gold film, and it kind of pushes up against
it's an electromagnetic the solar push sails. There. So, oh, well, that's kind of cool.
To actually push the spacecraft, into space or wherever they want it to go. So you're using the sun's energy, but in this case, it actually pushes these little satellites down a little bit lower in their orbit, and then they, because they're lower, then they degrade, their orbits degrade, and they eventually burn up in the Earth's atmosphere pretty quickly. And apparently they're designed to do that. And he knows he's going to lose X number of them, per year, and especially during this time of increased solar activity. And apparently this solar activity is going to peak in 2025. So the drought or the heat that we've had this past summer, we can anticipate, I guess, a couple of more years of that, because it's not due to the CO2 in the atmosphere, but it's due to the solar activity. So when the solar activity increases, we can expect major climate change, if you will, but it's not caused by man. It is actually caused by the sun.
Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, too, and just to put it in perspective, in this show, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe three, but the heating, the heat waves, carbon monoxide only contributes 1-2% of that effect. The rest comes from the sun directly, where we have no control.
Exactly. And one of the programs that we had on climate change, actually one of the projects that the World Economic Forum, and people can go back and listen to it, has is to put up solar umbrellas into space.
Foster grants in the sky?
Yes, to shield the Earth from the sun, thereby cooling it down. Mm-hmm. And what a disaster that's going
to
be.
That sounds pretty iffy to me.
You know, if they ever do that, because then we're going to probably go into an ice age again. Because it's got to be controlled, pretty well. But we're in a typical 11-year cycle, and the temperatures are rising because we're getting more energy from the sun. And we can anticipate, because we're kind of at the start of the 11-year cycle, that we might have more of the same that we had this year.
There is a political effect to all this, too. And let's get into that a little bit, because people start looking at what's going on around them, and it's kind of like a Chicken Little thing, like the sky is falling. Oh, no, it must be our fault. Or at least there are those political powers, those authoritarian types that say, I'll handle this for you. We can fix this. And they can't. And so people get excited about what may or may not happen and worked up into a frenzy. And apparently that's happening with something called the new anti-agriculture movement.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is Canada and the Netherlands are experiencing it as we speak. And you may have heard that they're pushing having new regulations that says, hey, you can't use your normal fertilizer. You can't use fertilizer anymore, and you can't grow crops in this area anymore, and you can't raise cows because they're producing too much gas, which is affecting our climate. So in order to manage the climate catastrophe that we've got coming, we need you to stop doing these activities. And matter of fact, we're regulating you out of business. And this is going to be a disaster. This will cause a lot of famines across the globe, as the agricultural industry, world, has to stop using fertilizer. When I was reading this article, the thought came to me, that Ukraine is exports a lot of fertilizer. And is the Russian war with Ukraine an effort to push us out of fertilizer? Because I think they produce like 20 or 30% of the world's fertilizer, and so
not to mention the grain that makes use of it.
And the grain, yes, they're a big agricultural, mainly for Europe and other parts of the globe. They have supplied a lot of the grain and a lot of the fertilizer. So here we're talking about, we're going to cut you off from the fertilizer, and that war is having an effect on fertilizer prices. Fertilizer prices have gone up dramatically this year, which means that food production costs are going sky high, and which means then that food prices are increasing, which they are, and we have experienced them in the grocery stores. So this is just the start of this madness, and we will if they continue with this program, they will indeed cause famines and cause the poor not to be able to have food because they can't supply it. Oh, but don't worry, the government will have more food stamps and more programs to be able to feed the poor. Right. And this is, increasing our cost in every single area. We think it's just affecting agriculture, but it's going to affect a lot of different things because agriculture touches every part of our society and is a must-have. In other words, we must have food. And what do you think is going to happen when the food supply starts dwindling and prices go sky high? Then that will probably cause a lot of riots and disruption in society, as well as many other things.
Well, I see it in Western society.
This is what happened in Sri Lanka.
That's true.
Exactly. This is pointed out.
What happened. Yeah, they've got an example.
So what happened in Sri Lanka? What happened in Sri Lanka?
It was Sri Lanka. The government decided that they were going to ban synthetic fertilizers. And 90% of the population uses synthetic fertilizers in order to eat and to make a living. And so they armed up, they marched, they threw the president out. The president had to leave the country. He's still gone. I don't think he's back yet. But they caused their parliament to shut down. The people got up on arms and said, "You're driving us out of business. I mean, you're killing us."
Yeah, and they were. And there was an economic collapse in Sri Lanka because of it.
Yes, and Sri Lanka's economy just bottomed out. I mean, it's a great example of exactly what you're talking about.
But on a global basis now, I mean, Canada and the Netherlands are moving in the same direction. Wow. So Canada, I mean, the Netherlands was, is quite productive and had a nice, healthy economy. But this is, you wonder, do the governmental people have no brains whatsoever? But, they're pushing this false climate crisis when there is no crisis, because as we've talked in previous programs, CO2 has very little effect on temperatures and hasn't, we can't hardly measure the effect on temperature. However, they have all of these false climate models that they're saying, oh my goodness, the CO2 is increasing exponentially, and so therefore our climate models show that the temperature is going to increase by 2 to 5 to 10 degrees, which is going to have dramatic effect across the globe. And you wait a couple of years and you find out those models have miserably failed and have overestimated the amount of effect that CO2 or methane or any of these gases has on the environment, mainly because the Earth is self-adjusting. Now, yeah, we talked about before that CO2, actually, plants love CO2, and it's plant food. So the more CO2 you have, they're finding this now, that the forests are increasing in various places because of the increase in CO2. And we are at, without all of the shenanigans, we're at the peak in food production around the globe because of the increase in CO2. So, to try to implement some of these radical ideas is going to have a catastrophic effect. And it's against biblical principles altogether. Because God says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And we're to manage the earth. We're not to destroy the earth, but we are to be caretakers of the earth. And he's created plants, for example. You know, how many corn seeds can you get from one corn, ear of corn? It's hundreds. So you plant one seed, and it's a hundredfold, if not more, increase in potential production just by planting, one seed. So God has put into the system an abundance, and man is coming along and creating a famine and creating poverty and starvation where there doesn't need to be any.
There's a story out there also on India, and I've tried to find it, and I can't find it. I read it maybe 2 weeks ago.
The Cornwall Alliance has dealt with that.
Maybe that was the one. Yeah, but this particular article said that climate change has been beneficial for India. It's been a very good thing, and the increase in greenhouse gases has caused. Population increase and crop increases for the country of India that is marketable or measurable, that it's been a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's increased gases have actually caused more crops to grow.
It's almost like all the scientific knowledge that we've accumulated and the computers we come to depend upon, and even things like the internet and social media have distracted us from reality. It seems to me that people who walk the ground, have their feet on the earth, raise crops, can sniff the air and tell you when it's going to rain, have an advantage in surviving. It's like we get the technocrats, that part of world economy, is so caught up in itself, it's lost touch with the earth itself, the cycles, the seasons, the sense that we belong on the earth, can read it, can use it, that it's there as a gift to us. They don't know that. They think they are the gift.
Yeah, they think they know better than what God has put into place. Of course, many of them don't believe in God and don't believe in a creator. And so what you wind up with is insanity, and there's no connection with reality whatsoever. So they come up with all of these regulations, and we said, oh, this will be a good idea. We'll just stop using fertilizer to fertilize our crops. And because, after all, the fertilizer is releasing nitrogen into the atmosphere, and we don't want that. And so they just create these regulations, and it's not just the agricultural area; it's in every aspects of life that they create these things, and they have no clue on the impact that it'll have, not only for the industry that they're regulating, but more importantly, for mankind in general. And so you get these bureaucrats that sit around and say, "Wouldn't it be nice? We can fix this problem of climate change, which doesn't exist." I mean, yes, climate is changing, but man-made climate change doesn't exist, as we've talked about many times before on this program. And so they use it as yet another excuse to control people. And interestingly enough, it's forcing people out of the communities into cities where they're more easily controlled. And the other aspect of this whole thing is that it will reduce population, which is another goal of the globalist, is to reduce the population so we don't have as many people to control, and therefore possibly overturn what we say. Because from a we're talking about the religious aspects of all of this, these people think of themselves as God, and we should indeed bow down to them because they are all-knowing. And we can go back to Genesis and go back to Nimrod, and that's exactly what he was trying to do when he was building and having built the Tower of Babel to reach up to heaven. He wanted himself to be God. And there again, we are back to that same old adage, and the enemy of our soul is convincing some men and women, for example, that indeed that they can become gods if they just do these things.
It's like their field of knowledge is much too narrow, that they're out of touch with the real world, with the real substance and spiritual aspect of the creation. They simply deny it. And if things are going badly for them, the answer is create a crisis, make people afraid, and we'll save them somehow with science and with technology. And if that doesn't work, with armies. It leads to no good.
No, it leads to no good. And it's all about controlling the population.
I put an article in the Skype window about Sri Lanka's tragedy. It said, it's an article that was published in July, but it talks about the specific things that happened, that the president decided he was going to ban synthetic fertilizers because he wanted to get behind promoting organic fertilizers, and for whatever reason. And now, and this is an ESG score. Sri Lanka has one of the best ESG scores in the world.
Oh, wonderful. It's just that they don't have any economy anymore because the president destroyed it with his attic.
Exactly.
Well, link is down in the chat window, too, on brokenroadradio.com, along with a couple of other article links you might be interested in. So just so you know, if you're listening in.
How do we get rid of these pinheads?
Well, it starts with the grassroots efforts at each and every community level.
What role does the church have here? Surely there's something that we ought to be doing.
The idea that the church should stay out of politics is completely wrong. And, if the church is not salt and light, no one's going to be. If we have the truth and we don't stand up for the truth, then no one's going to stand up for the truth. So we as a church need to become salt and light and push back on these things. And I'm all for organic farming, but that a transition from these synthetic fertilizers to organic fertilizers is going to take time, and we can certainly and it would be better for the earth actually to be doing organic farming, but it just doesn't happen overnight. And so, unlike, you know, Sri Lanka that forced the non-use of synthetic fertilizers, if we transition and encourage the farmers, for example, to go more organically, that is better for the earth. You don't create salt deposits in the soil because of the synthetic fertilizers, but you go more of the natural way, which Europe, you know, had. They put manure on their fields, and that's why their vegetables taste a whole lot better than our vegetables, because we use synthetics and they use manure.
Well, I hear you saying that we need to go back in time to a kind of farming, a kind of agrarian lifestyle that we might have had 150, 200 years ago, maybe for the last 1,000 years. But here's a question for you. Would it be better to be a farmer or a hunter-gatherer? I mean, how far back do we have to go to get right?
Well, just take the United States, for example, and the Indians. If you there were plenty of buffalo, you know, roaming around the ranges and the bison, but you don't see that too much anymore. You can go to Yellowstone; there's plenty of buffalo, bison. But so, being a hunter-gatherer, I don't think is realistic. And even going back, I mean, we can use our knowledge that we've gained over the years in farming, in modern farming techniques, you know, kind of go back to some of the principles that were there before synthetic fertilizers came into being. So there is a interesting compromise that can be met, and that would actually be better than some of the practices that we're doing today. But we seem to want to just rush into let's cut off the spigot before we discuss these things in a rational manner so that we can all benefit and move forward, as opposed to killing everybody
off. Because it's a matter of maintaining power and not survival, at least not yet. Yeah, the power mongers come first. Interesting. We should pick this up where we left off. Maybe next time, maybe again soon here. Dr. Don Clark, a member of the board at Creation Moments. CreationMoments.com is their website, and there you will find scientific information in support of the biblical story of creation. We recommend a visit there, CreationMoments.com. Don, thanks so much. Always appreciate having you around. We'll look forward to next week. Oh, wait a second. Okay, wait a second. I'm not sure that we'll be live next week on Tuesday. I think we'll be alive, but I don't think we'll be doing a live broadcast.
may not have a live
broadcast.
What
a distinguish okay. There. Yeah. So I'll be in touch with you on that. Okay.
Well, okay. We'll run an old show. We could run today's show.
Well, hey.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Reruns.
Reruns.
Yeah.
In case you missed it.
Don, have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon, real soon. Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Don. Bye-bye.